Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
When the Lord appeared to Moses, remember at the burning bush? And he tells Moses, go rescue those children of Israel from Egypt. And Moses asks the Lord, well, first he's arguing and saying, I stutter and I don't want to do this. I don't want to go alone and all of that. And he says, well, who am I going to say sent me? What am I going to tell these people? He probably had no great love for them at this time. And listen to this little conversation in the New Living Translation. Moses is telling the Lord, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they won't believe me. And they're going to ask, which God are you talking about? Interesting, huh? Remember, they'd been there 400 years entrenched in idolatry. And what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Open, honest conversation that Moses is having with this burning bush, with the Lord here. And God replies, I am the one who always is. Or I am that I am. The Lord goes on to say, you just tell Moses, you just tell those people, I am has sent you. I am everything, Moses. I am all there is. I am beginning and end. I am all that you are ever going to need. Go tell them that, Moses. I am that I am. Many years later, Isaiah, the Lord was speaking to the Israelites again. And it says, the Lord says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no other God. He was reminding him, wasn't he? And telling him again, you better get right. First and the last, Alpha and Omega. Jesus was at the beginning of all things and he will be at the close. He has always existed and he always will. When Jesus was having one of those heated discussions with the religious leaders, and remember, he knew just exactly what to say, and he knew he always said something that threw them up. They were throwing dust in the air and ripping their clothes and getting so upset, and it just kind of tickles me. It's like, oh, this one's really going to get them. And Jesus is talking to him, and he said, your father Abraham, because they were very big on genealogies, your father Abraham, rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and he was glad. They were like, what? And they just came unglued. Who do you think you are? You aren't even 50 years old yet and you say you've seen Abraham? Can you imagine? And what did Jesus say to him? He just took it a step further. What did he say? He said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, they knew exactly what he was saying. Because what? They took up stones to stone him. Jesus was equating himself with that same I am that God gave Moses that day at the burning bush. It wasn't the last time Jesus said, I am the door, I'm the resurrection and the light, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said in John, therefore I say to you, this was another one that got him really mad, that you're going to die in your sins. He tells the religious leaders, well, you're going to die in your sins. They're probably like, what? We follow the letter of the law completely. We're doing it. You're this guy from Nazareth. Who are you? And you're saying, I'm going to die in my sins. And he said, for if you do not believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. And of course, my favorite I am, and I'm sure most of yours, is in that garden. When the soldiers come looking for Jesus, and Jesus goes out to meet him and says, who are you looking for? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am. And what happened? They fell back. Can you imagine the force behind it? He probably had to restrain himself every time he said, I am, because of the power in that. And here we see just a little glimpse. They fell back at just the name, didn't they? Amazing. There's a story of an old missionary named Samuel Morrison, who after 25 years in Africa, he was returning to the United States to live out his final years. And it just so happened on this ocean liner that he was on traveled President Teddy Roosevelt. He was back from a hunting expedition in Africa. And the writer writes this: when the great ship pulled into the New York Harbor, the dock where it was to tie up was jammed with what looked like the entire population of New York City. Bands were playing, banners were waving, choirs of children were singing, multicolored balloons were floating in the air, flashbulbs were popping, and newsreel cameras were poised. That tells how long ago it was. To record the return of the president. When the president stepped down the gangplank to thunderous cheers and applause, showered with confetti and ticker tape, and if the crowd had not been restrained by ropes and by the police, he would have been mobbed. Well, at the same time, Samuel Morrison quietly walked off the boat. No one was there to meet him. He slipped alone through the crowd, and because of the crush of so many people, he couldn't even find a cab. And inside his heart, he began to complain, "Lord, the president has been in Africa, 3 weeks, killing animals, and the whole world turns out to welcome him. Lord, I've given you 25 years of my life in Africa. I've been serving you, and no one has greeted me. No one even knows I'm here." And in the quietness of his heart, a gentle, loving voice whispered, "But my dear child, you're not home yet." Revelation 21, 1 through 3, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven like a beautiful bride for her husband." Verse 3, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying this," listen, "Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people." That's a promise. It's going to happen. This is not our home. There is a home. Heaven is the most beautiful place ever imagined. We can't imagine it. It's not just a show place, a model home that you walk through and go, "Isn't this nice?" It's home. In this home, we will not have occasional access to the presence of God. Like, you know, sometimes I picture me one of millions of people, and maybe I get to see him, or maybe every few months he'll come by, or no. We will live in his presence. Think about this. Every moment of every day, every week, for all eternity. It's almost like our heavenly home is like the most holy place. Remember, we talked about that in the tabernacle, that only once a year a priest could go, and there was that thick veil that separated from the holy place, the most holy place. And we talked about how it was torn. And in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus' flesh was torn like the veil, that we had direct access to the Lord. He will be there physically. We will live fully and completely with him every moment as though we were the only ones there. Hard to get our minds around, isn't it? But that's how it's going to be. The Lord told John to write these things down. There were certain things the Lord said, "Now write this down." So John did, and the Lord said, "It is finished. It is finished," just as Jesus said on the cross. "It is finished." And he says again, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Seeing a pattern here? John, write this down, because the ladies here at Virtue today, they need to know, "I am the beginning and the end." There's an angel, and he gives John a tour of this heavenly city, the indescribable wonders of heaven, and shows John a pure river and this water coming out, the water of life. It's clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. "I am the Alpha and the Omega," as John is looking at this. And for the ladies here today, he wants to tell you, "I was there at the beginning. Before the world was created, I had you on my mind. I was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. I was I was involved. I was there for every heartache. I was there for every hard thing, every divorce, every financial difficulty, every joy, every laughter. I was there, and I'm going to be there when you take your last breath. And you are coming home to me. So we see this clear, crystal water flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. No longer will anything be cursed. This will be a place where our tears will be wiped away. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. It is finished. Jesus holds the keys, doesn't he? And Jesus again sees John, and he says this to him, "Look, I'm coming quickly." Ladies, he's coming quickly. It may not seem quickly, but it is. And all that John can do, again, here, is he falls on his face to worship. And he's standing by the angel, and the angel says, "Don't worship me, worship him." And John is down on his face again. And Jesus says again, "I'm the Alpha, and I'm the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and I am coming soon." He wants us to remember that. He knows every thought you have. He knows your worries, your concerns, your heartache. He was in the beginning. Remember, redemption was in mind before the world was even formed, so you could be with him forever in our home. From Genesis leading to this day and that one day when we will be with him, we will see our Redeemer, our refuge, our rock face to face. We're going to sing again, but remember in heaven, John says too, he said, "I heard voices of thousands and millions of angels." What does that sound like? Paul said he couldn't describe it. Thousands of millions of angels around the throne. And they sang a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." It's not a lot of words. It's just words over and over. They're speechless, and yet it's all you. So before we do enter into worship again, in Acts 3:19 it says, "Repent therefore and be converted, so that your sins will be blotted out, and the times of rest from before the face of the Lord Jehovah will come to you." Repent, turn around, be converted, come back to. Your sins will be blotted out, obliterated. And the times of rest, or the times of refreshing, that can mean a recovery of breath, and you will see Jesus. And he will come to you, and he will minister to you. So right now, as we're praising the Lord, if there's anything in your life you need to get rid of, he says, "Repent. Come back to me. Don't let one thing separate you from me. Not one thing. Take a breath of fresh air and take me in." Let's worship.